is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
These voices that you guys are hearing this morning. Well, first, Brian Cook from MGO Blog. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I like AFC Ann Arbor.
All right. Ed Fang. Ed, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Sam. I went to a Detroit City FC game and someone tweeted me.
Boo.
Someone tweeted me.
Detroit Suburb FC.
Did you bring at MGO Blog?
Yeah, if you want to keep coming back to this station, it's Detroit Suburb FC.
Hey, that Hamtramck is literally surrounded by Detroit.
Oh, come on. It's not. It's Detroit.
Why did you go to their game?
Well, I've been trying to get down to a game for however many years, and my boys agreed to go.
Okay.
And then people start tweeting me about Brian.
Okay.
That's how it goes.
You've been to an AFC Ann Arbor game?
Yeah, I've been to AFC Ann Arbor game.
They lost 10-0.
Yeah. Well, to a top level Italian team.
So why do I do that?
Now that's my experience too. If I go even to a legal conference, people start sending me notes about Brian.
And
if I'm talking about something, you know, if I'm speaking about something, you know, child support theory.
Yeah, I haven't seen you. I haven't seen Brian since the last.
People ask me what's wrong with Ed a lot.
I haven't seen Brian since the last roundtable. I saw Ed a few weeks ago. He came in to preview the World Cup, and then I saw you, Craig, a couple weeks ago. You came by the studio.
Just came by to say hi when I came back from the Big Island.
All right, so Craig Ross here in studio, author of several Michigan books.
Couple of books, yeah. I'm writing a third one. Although my big how I spent my summer vacation was. I officially became a tennis professional, or at least a tennis teaching professional this summer, because a woman I was giving lessons to brought me a fish.
Okay.
So I've now been compensated. She brought me a fish for getting her tennis lesson.
Okay.
So I'm now a teaching professional.
How large of a fish?
It was a pretty good size at lessons.
Okay.
All right. So guys, the news. The news of the day here on the show is the news of the day nationally, and that is Urban Meyer paid administrative leave at Ohio State based on his denial of knowledge of allegations of domestic abuse against one of his now former coaches back in 2015. Seems implausible that he didn't know, and it's clear now based on the reporting of Brett McMurphy that his wife knew, that the wife of his director of football ops knew. The wife of director of football ops implicates Urban in her text. I'm curious your overall thoughts and whether you think Urban Meyer has coached his last game in Columbus.
I don't think he has coached his last game in Columbus because, like, what is the mechanism of punishment that hovers over Ohio State? So with Tressel, I mean, the guy lied to the NCAA four straight times. He was going to get a show cause. He did get a show cause. So that's the NCAA stepping in and firing him for you if you don't fire him. I don't see that happening with this situation because it's not against NCAA rules. If it is against the law, it's like a Title IX violation. And as we've seen at Michigan State, those can take years and years. And even if a Title IX violation came back 4 years from now and said, Urban Meyer's the worst person on the planet, like Ohio State would probably be like, it's all right.
Right, but I think with Ohio State putting him on administrative leave 12 hours after the story breaks, I think that says something about what their response is to this situation, right? Like, it was a very kind of like, we don't want to have distractions to our team as they get ready for the season. I was like, wait, so not having your head coach there is not going to be a distraction to the preparation of your team?
I
agree with you, Brian. Like, I'm not convinced. I mean, he may coach the entire season. He may survive this. But I think Ohio State's response is telling about how this may go.
I think Zach Boren's response is more telling than Ohio State's response.
What a moron.
Glad that guy transferred.
Yeah, the thing for me is this. When the issues with Tressel came down, you had a clown running the university, and that's not true anymore. I mean, the guy there now seems like a more serious guy, and he cares about this sort of issue more than G. Gordon G. cared about it.
So you think he would be more sensitive? Well,
yeah.
Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that he lacks the moral sort of intestinal fortitude to beat back Ohio State supporters on the merits. Do you think that this would be a president that would succumb to national pressure from external pressures about how this looks?
It isn't so clear to me what the Ohio State pressures are. I mean, I roamed around a little bit on Ohio State's points of view, and they're pretty mixed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of Ohio State people who don't like this. Plus, there are a lot of Ohio State people who see how John Engler's circling of the wagons at Michigan State is not making it go away and is not making it better.
This is bad.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's
anywhere
bad.
Near the Engler stuff.
Agree.
Because the Engler stuff is
agree.
An entire university
right.
trying to give the world a middle finger.
Right. And
they could get there, but they haven't got there
right.
yet.
Right. And I think this guy at Ohio State doesn't want any of that whiff of the stench of East Lansing. And the reality is, if Urban Meyer gets fired tomorrow, does it change how good the Ohio State football team or program is? No.
No.
Are they going to win games anyway?
Yeah. It does not change how good they'll be this year.
And
it might change how good they'll be moving forward.
I doubt it.
Well, I mean, that means you don't have much respect for his game planning and in season and in. I got to think there's a little bit of effect.
I would feel a little bit better about the game if Urban Meyer got fired tomorrow. I got to tell you.
I would have been fired a little better if
I would be like, I think that improves our chances at least somewhat.
It may improve chances somewhat. I think Ohio State still be really, really –
I think they'll still be
a national title contender.
Agreed.
Even without Urban Meyer on the sideline this year.
And next year.
Interim head coach Greg Schiano.
Moving forward.
Parlay that into the permanent job. We could go for that. Yeah.
You know, affecting the recruiting class and that being pillaged, I could definitely see that happening and affecting them moving forward. But this year, I think they're gonna win. They're gonna be one of the top teams in the country, whether he's there or not.
Yeah. So I think the only people who can really make Ohio State move here are the mothers of recruits. That's it. That's the only group of people on the planet who could actually cause Ohio State to fire Urban Meyer. If Zach Harrison's mom is like, you can't go to Ohio State, that moves the needle in a way that I think literally nobody else on the planet can move the needle.
But we
haven't seen it yet. I mean, it'll be interesting if that ever happens.
But I think Craig also brings up a good point, too, with the president, because if application figures drop this upcoming season, that's the president.
We didn't see that with Michigan State, and I can't imagine applying to Michigan State or allowing my son to apply to Michigan State.
Well, but we haven't seen the full, application times this fall, right?
You think Ohio folks would not go to Ohio State based on this?
No,
but it's not necessarily that. It's out-of-state applicants that are paying full tuition that really help support the university.
Yeah, we're talking about the Larry Nassar thing and didn't even impact their bottom line. So it takes an awful lot to impact the bottom line of a university.
Well, I don't think do we know the full effect of the Nassar
effect? Yes, their enrollment went up this year. I don't know what their applications did, but their enrollment went up this year.
Yeah, there have been stories on that.
Yeah, their enrollment did go up this year. I think it was all-time high, but I'm not exactly sure why that is. Maybe they just took everybody who applied.
Right.
I have no idea.
I mean, the quality of the average Michigan State student, I mean, could you tell if it went down?
I ain't going there.
734-998-250.
Were they going to bang the rocks together the wrong way?
Let's go to the phones at 734-998-250 and talk to Peter in Chicago. Peter, what's up?
Yeah, hey, guys. Obviously, first concern and thoughts are with the victim, and I don't want to diminish that anything. From a football perspective, obviously conscious that we have a season coming up, and it's like this crazy history repeating itself. I mean, paid administrative leave is pretty serious. If they decided to do that, there's a real chance he could be fired, and there could be an interim situation, Luke Fickell all over again. I mean, that's the last time we beat him in the last 15 years. So
we
say, hey, are we... Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I'm a Michigan fan. But, you say there's this weird situation in history right now, and it's going to be really interesting to look back on, and there's a lot of things we don't know at this point. But my question is, what should the perspective of the Michigan fan base be, the feeling, the emotional reaction? For me, it's disappointment. I want to play Urban Meyer because he's one of the great coaches. Despite what you can say about him personally, we haven't beaten him yet. I'd rather play him when they're, you know, clicking and the Big Ten, it's good. That's my question.
I would sign up for 50 years of Luke Fickle.
well, he's already coaching, so they'd have to get Adam Sandler.
That's true. At this point, I don't care what happened to Ohio State. They have all their scholarships taken away and they have to, like, play a roster of people who have never picked up a football before. Okay, that's fine.
See, I see what he's
making.
Make
the stadium more tolerable.
Yeah, I hear where he's coming from because I would rather beat them at their height, at their strength.
But we haven't done that. So that's kind of a problem.
But I would rather Michigan raise its bar. But to me, this is not about this story. Sure. Is not about the game, as far as I'm concerned, and about how I would feel based on beating a depressed Ohio State. I mean, if I had my way, Urban Meyer wouldn't be a guy who compromises his integrity for wins, and Michigan would rise up and beat him and beat Ohio State when they're the strongest. But we don't have the luxury of choice in that matter.
Well, the other thing with Urban is I wonder how much, like, benefit of the doubt he's lost because of Aaron Hernandez.
Clearly not enough, because only one member of the media was really digging on this last week. The biggest story coming out of Big Ten Media Days was Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
It's like, why? How is that bigger than John Reschke, and certainly bigger than this? It's like, it makes no sense. I could at least see them thinking, all right, well, it's Michigan State. Yeah, well, from a national perspective, we don't really care about Michigan State. But Ohio State Urban Meyer, what reason would you have not to dig on that, further, even especially when you look back at Florida? And 30-plus arrests in 6 years at Florida, this guy has shown you he will look the other way. And when he tells you, I knew nothing about it, everyone just says, takes him at his word and says, okay, and goes on their merry way.
You know, you have to sort of separate the story into three pieces at the moment. One is the legal issue, and you'll have Joe talking about that, I assume, tomorrow. I think Professor Dotson called in, and they both seemed skeptical that there was any legal, you know, violation or Title IX violation here.
What do you think about that real quick? Craig, you're a lawyer, and so the point that Mark brought up is this is a mandate for reporting
for when the student has been harmed.
It doesn't say student explicitly. The mandate is if you have knowledge of misconduct of this nature, you're required to report it to the Title IX office. Now, does that mean that it's the victim is a student or faculty member? Can it be a staff member or a student that assaults someone that isn't affiliated with the university?
Neither Mark nor Joe seem to really know the answer to that, and I don't either. I do know this. I mean, aside from the legal issue, there was a clear ethical problem here. I mean, Urban Meyer knew about Smith in 2009. He admits that.
Right.
Yep. It is inconceivable. There's not one chance in a billion, that he didn't know about what went down in 2015.
Absolutely. Right.
And it's just not even in the worth talking about. I mean, the moon might explode. Too. I mean, it didn't.
There's a great book about that, by the way.
The moon exploding. In any event, it couldn't happen. I mean, he knew. And so then the question is, what should he have done in 2015? And I would assume, ethically, regardless of the law, there should have been some sort of an internal investigation at the very least at Michigan State. I have a story about Michigan. I think I told it once before. I don't know if you want to hear it or not. But at Michigan, when Lloyd was coach, one of his players was accused of domestic violence. I got a call from the magistrate, one of the magistrates in town, and he said, hey, this guy, do you know Lloyd? I said, yeah. He goes, well, I'm just telling you. So I wandered over to Lloyd's office, and Lloyd didn't know, and he suspended the kid immediately. It was a key player for him on a big game coming up who was suspended. And then they did an internal investigation right away within the university, decided that the charges were not they were absurd, to be honest. And then the prosecutor went forward anyway, even though the alleged victim refused to cooperate at that point, and the case was dismissed by the court before a defense was put on. But Michigan did the right thing. When Lloyd heard about it, he suspended the kid. They investigated it. They decided this is, So I don't. None of that happened. I don't think at Ohio State, because Meyer
absolutely
didn't know about it, and so it was handled wrong. It was not handled in an ethical matter. Forget the law, and my impression is that that this guy is a serious dude at Ohio State. He does not want to go through anything. This isn't
talking about the president.
Yeah, the president.
What has given you that impression? I have no impression of the president of Ohio State.
Well, my impression is that he's a serious dude, and from what I've read about him,
exactly does that mean?
Is he a bad enough dude to save the president?
Which president?
I never know.
I think he. I think he cares about Title IX issues. I think he cares about how his university is perceived as an ethical point of, from an ethical point of view. I think he cares about how.
Well, then
not G. Gordon G.
If that's true,
that
then,
seems far too.
Then Urban Meyer would be in trouble. But I think
he is in trouble.
I think the pressure, the hammer, comes from outside. It will not come from within. It will not come from Ohio State supporters, alums, fans. Mm-hmm. It'll come from the protest movement that got Harvey Weinstein. It'll come from that kind of,
it's possible,
of uproar. That's the only way they'll feel compelled to make a move. Compelled to make a move like moving Urban Meyer out of his job. Now, and they still. Now, again, I'm not. I don't know if this will be. If this will pick up that much steam, but I think there's a chance that it will. When you see it, you look at CNN this morning, and they're talking about Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I just feel like they're covering their bases for a couple weeks, and then it'll be like,
hey, you might be right.
We found out that Urban Meyer has never talked to his wife. Funny, weird, but barely true.
If you're covering your bases, you don't take your coach out of August camp for that long.
Yes, you do. Because again,
camp has
you give yourself plausible deniability.
Yeah, you're like, all right, we're going to take this seriously.
You know, you give the image of propriety. We're doing our due diligence here, and then you know you got a good enough team. They're going to be fine without Urban Meyer. At least, even if you feel like he is if you lose him, it harpoons your hopes for the season. As far as being a championship team, it won't harpoon you out the gate. I mean, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine initially. Even if you were to lose the game early, you still got a chance to come back and win. So I just think that it's a calculated move, one that's done, in my opinion, for the purposes of imagery and perception. You seem to think that there is something more genuine there.
I seem to think there's a legitimate chance.
Did you say I seem to think?
I seem to think. Well, that may be the case. I do think. I listened to myself, and I seem to think that I do think that the president's name Clark, I think, is concerned about the image of that school. Does not want it to look like Penn State, even though this is not as serious, or Michigan State, not close to as serious. But I still think he doesn't want to be on that track, and I think that he'll perceive that Urban Meyer is a cog in the system and is not much more than that.
All right. Wait, hold your thoughts. Yeah. We need to get to a break. Yeah. And then we'll come back on the other side. We'll start with you, Brian. We'll also get to the phones, talk to John, talk to Terry. Phone lines are open as well, 734-998-1050. Back on the other side here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. We're live here inside the Emden Studios. We have the MGo Blog Roundtable going on and talking Urban Meyer, paid administrative leave. Has he coached his last game at Ohio State? Brian, you think no. I'm quite sure know where you fall on this, Craig.
I think 60-40 he's gone.
So a sports book posted yesterday that there's about a 2-3 chance that he's fired before game one. Those odds have gone up.
And what do you think?
I have no idea. I'm going to go with the Marcus.
Let's go to the phones. Oh, wait, no. Before we do that, you had a thought before we went to the break.
I forgot what it was.
All right, let's go to the phones. Go to the phones and talk to John and Dexter.
Mid-season form.
John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I was listening to Sirius Radio when this story kind of broke. Rick Neuheisel, who I didn't know was a lawyer, was on. And he asked a really penetrating question of the reporter who did the story. And his question was, after this became public, did anyone from the Title IX office of Ohio State contact the victim? Which he thought, you know, as a coach and a lawyer, was very significant under Title IX. But the reporter answered categorically, no one contacted her.
Mm-hmm.
So that suggests to me, I haven't seen that anywhere else in the press, and I'm not, you know, drilling down and everything on this, but I think that was a really significant question in terms of the compliance by the compliance department. And so there may be a whole nother layer, a whole nother veneer that has to be removed. And frankly, I don't have a lot of great faith in the athletic director, given his history in the past. I think he was at Arizona State before he came, and the whole trestle thing where, you know, he said only six people were involved in the tattoo gate, and the reporter that broke the story said, well, I went down to the tattoo parlor, and, you know, everybody said, I found out there were 42 people or whatever it was involved in the thing. So that presents a whole nother set of questions to me, and I don't know if anybody's asking. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys got to say.
It kind of gets back to the jurisdictional question we got to earlier, doesn't it, Craig? I mean, is this one of the fundamental questions raised earlier in the show was whether or not if she is not an employee of Ohio State
or a student
of Ohio State, whether the requirement to report is still there.
That's part of it. The other question on the issue that was just raised is whether Title IX office knew anything, because no one apparently reported.
Well, his question, though, at least if I heard him correctly, was since this came out, since it came out here in the last couple of weeks, has anyone from the Title IX office contacted Courtney Smith? No. And the answer was no. But you have a now ex-employee.
Right.
And one of the big questions is this now ex-employee, his wife, do they even have jurisdiction over her? Some of the legal minds that called up this morning seem to question that.
I would question that.
But, it's not just about the conduct of your employee. So let's say, I mean, you know, a student athlete, if he was accused of sexual assault of a non-student, that still doesn't fall under
No, I'm guessing, you know, I don't know. I'm guessing, yes, that would fall under reporting requirements. So I don't know.
That's one that we will have to get clarification on. And if they wiggle out of it, I think that would be the loophole.
Well, again,
that they did it
I mean, to me, there's two issues. What's the legal issue?
What's the moral?
And what's the ethical one? Yeah. The ethical one seems clearer than the legal one, at least what we know right now.
It is. 734-998-1050. Let's talk to Terry and Celine. Terry, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nothing much.
Hey, I understand this, whatever the coach's name. He, you know, back going back to 09, you know, he wasn't a GA like any other GA. He had some lineage to him. And Urban, when he first found out about this, because he admitted to it last week, him and Shelley pulled him aside and counsel the young couple, because that's what they do. Now, fast forward, you know, 5-6 years, clearly things have escalated within that relationship of that the coach and his wife, to where now there's multiple, you know, instances of alleged abuse. So you're going to tell me that Shelley knows that there's abuse going on, but she's not going to get Urban involved, you know, at that particular time? To me, that just does not make any sense whatsoever. And, you know, whoever who's Urban's close confidant, his life coach, you know, made the trip down to, you know, Pensacola to pressure that young lady into not pursuing charges, Earl Bruce went down. So, I mean, there's many, many people that knew what was going on at the very first incident. You know, how can't they know once it escalated, you know, 5-6 years into it? So it's just not making any sense whatsoever. And I don't see Urban sliding out the back door on this one. I really do believe, whether it's a moral, legal, whatever, you know, something's going to come down on him. And he just doesn't make any sense. So I know he can say that he didn't talk to his wife, but I find that very hard to believe, that she was not concerned, because here it is. He's, you know, well into his marriage, has young kids involved. At that point, she has to be even more alarmed, because what are the kids seeing?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, there's the allegation is that he beat her in front of the kids. Like, one of the kids was holding on to her leg as the abuse was going on. But I guess I step away from the, maybe she felt some moral obligation to tell her husband about this. I mean, if you remove that from the equation, the self-preservation aspect of it, I mean, they brought him on knowing that he had a history dating back to 2009, a history they knew about. And just based on the self-preservation side of this, she's not going to say something to her husband about this. It just, like you said, Craig, I think it's, at this point, doesn't even merit bringing it up. He absolutely knew.
He absolutely knew, and he absolutely lied about it. And so, to me, the legal issues, what Title IX exactly requires, is almost a sideshow. I mean, he knew about it. He didn't do anything. He went forward.
What it says to me, again, it's more about the external pressures we talked about from maybe any protest groups, but also the media. I mean, I think this point can't be hammered home enough, that we came out of last week talking about Jim Harbaugh with those stories, the Michigan State story, which I understand, while maybe they might downgrade it a little bit because it's Michigan State, but you would think the Nassar thing would elevate anything Michigan State right now. But Ohio State, certainly a national contender. Urban Meyer, you know, next to, you know, after Nick Saban, is maybe, you know, the most successful coach in the game right now. That is a story that you dig into, especially when you look at his track record. And none of them really did. Well, I think that deference has to have evaporated now.
I don't. We'll see. I mean, apparently this was an open secret inside the program. A guy named Ramsey Nasrallah, who writes for 11 Warriors, tweeted out yesterday that he had been writing around it for years. And, you know, he's a columnist, and he writes for a team-affiliated blog. But everybody knew. If Ramsey Nasrallah knew, Urban Meyer knew. And if Ramsey Nasrallah knew, everybody on the Ohio State beat knew. But did they write it up? No, they did not. Same thing happened in Michigan State. You got clowns like Couch out there being like, I'm Couch. And like,
see, but I guess I expect that, though.
You expect that from the beat.
I expect that from that side.
That
of things.
You have that's your opinion about beat reporters.
I'm cynical.
You think this happened at Michigan, that Brandon Quinn isn't going after this? If this happened in Michigan, then Nick Baumgartner isn't going after
it. They're going after it. Sorry.
Well,
I think they are, and I think that's a compliment to them.
Yeah,
the Cleveland Plain Dealer, certainly.
They knew.
They didn't. That's who I'm pointing out, though. These are the people that I'm talking about that should have been the ones talking last week, more than 11 Warriors.
So what I'm saying is that this is not something that you had to be super inside knowledge about. It was just an open secret. And, you know, the Dispatch yesterday didn't even have a story ready. There wasn't anything on their website for like five hours.
Right. You're absolutely right. Not just them. I'm talking that ESPN, CBS Sports, even without direct knowledge. This is what I keep coming back to.
The reporters got fired. Brett McMurphy got fired.
There were columnists there. There were national media types at Big Ten Media Day more interested in talking about Jim Harbaugh, when you have a coach who, based on where he is and his profile and his history, any one of those things demand that you write more on that.
I don't know. Who are we talking about here?
I just saw a column from Dennis Dodd saying he needs to be let go.
Okay, well, he's
an established clown. Saying he needs to be let go.
Like, you're telling these established clowns not to be clowns.
Sam, I think you bring up a great point that this should have been a bigger story than whatever. What was the Harbaugh story during media days?
It was he wants a 16-team playoff, and he's 1-5 against Michigan's 1-5.
Yeah, the big Harbaugh story was some walking, I can't even say it on the radio, some person asking him a question. That was the Jim Harbaugh news.
Exactly. And then a couple of days after that, we're talking about chicken.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, that is hilarious.
It might be hilarious, but it drove the news cycle for a full day. I'm like, seriously? That's what
Jim Harbaugh does.
This is what we're talking about when you have much bigger stories out there right now.
Right. Actually, Craig, can I ask you a question? With the Art Briles thing, was there more legal issues with that case than just ethical issues? Can you compare and contrast?
Yeah, I don't know enough about that one. No. I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, there was an alleged gang rape there. Yeah. That was just settled, by the way.
So one thing I wanted to say about Penn State and Michigan State and this Ohio State situation is that the severity of the events is not quite as bad, but it's the exact same see no evil approach. Mm-hmm. And it is your job, if you're Urban Meyer, to know about this. It is your job to know that all of your coaches are not serially abusing their wives. And if you do have a coach that is serially abusing your wife and you let this go on
and
for 6 years.
And you had reason to know it, and then you didn't
No. Even if there's no proof that you knew, it is your job to know.
I agree with you.
Excuse for Urban Meyer. I don't think we need to know if Urban Meyer was informed about this by the cops or his wife. I think the mere fact that this guy did the things he did and was still on Ohio State's staff, it should result in his firing. It will. It probably won't. But I don't think you need to know if he knew.
It's your job to know. I think that's too esoteric. We don't even need to go there because, A, he did know. And
I think he's attacking the defense of Urban Meyer right now. Which he's arguing is irrelevant.
Yeah,
and I said this to... That's not a defense. Yeah. That he didn't know is damning too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
absolutely, it is. You're saying eliminate the circumstances. This is something that warrants your dismissal for you not knowing. But considering the circumstances, this is even worse because you're saying everyone around you knew and you didn't.
Yeah.
What does that say about your leadership?
You knew this couple had problems 6 years ago, and you advised them to get counseling.
Oh, no. You didn't. No, you counseled him.
Well, McMurphy article said he advised them to get counseling.
Well, yeah, he counseled them. And he counseled Aaron Hernandez. He said that.
Did a good job there.
I mean, that to me is what should have brought greater scrutiny. It's like, okay, we've seen this movie at Florida where he looks the other way. He's saying, oh, I didn't know anything about it. Maybe we should look into this a little bit deeper based on his history. And one guy did that. And I'm talking specifically about the so-called neutral media. I don't think there's such a thing as an unbiased media, as I said earlier.
But
the national media should have been on this harder than they were. This should have been a bigger national story than Jim Harbaugh last week.
Well, it's bigger now.
It's bigger now because one guy stayed on it.
Yeah. One guy who ESPN decided they didn't want.
Who did this despite the fact that he doesn't have a job?
Well, he's on non-compete right now, but there's some people who are just reporters, and Brett McMurphy is a reporter.
That he is. 734-998-1050. Tweet us at Michigan Insider. Email us at studio@wtk.com. Has Urban Meyer coached his last game? Give us your take on that. We'll get to more phone calls, emails, and tweets on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. We are back, folks. 734-998-1050. Let's go to the phones real quick. Talk to Jake. Jake, what's up?
I was just going to say, I'm freaking pumped up 30 freaking days for Michigan football, but I just want to say I'm really proud how Michigan's doing, just not on the field and on the court, but off the field and off the court, for Beilein and the cleanest coach of the year, or the cleanest coach, and then I really believe Harbaugh's going to do a good job. I'm really proud. He's doing a good job, just not on the field, but off the field. And I wanted to say, too, I forgot to say, I wanted to say thanks for the shout-out for Anthony, and I just want to say, both of you, keep up the good work. You're doing a really good job. I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue, win or lose. I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue.
Appreciate the enthusiasm.
That was a super fast call.
that's Jake. That's
he's
Jake.
Getting, he's like getting yeah. it in, like yeah. respecting our time.
But you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate Jake every day. So guys, you know, coaches, and I was reading Andrea Adelson's column on this, and she said, you know, the world has evolved, and Urban Meyer hasn't. He's the same Urban Meyer he was at Florida, and really, I thought attacked it head on. And she's talked about some coaches getting the God complex. You win a championship and or you have a level of success that maybe is unprecedented at your school and in some places, and you get to the point where it's about what you think, period, and not what it does for the perception of the school, what you know the student body or fans might think, or certainly what people externally might think, and you make decisions. There's like this myopic view, and I just feel like we were seeing that, you know, the God complex in the case of Urban Meyer. Certainly was no fear of consequence from his boss, no one around him that can really tell him, hey, you know, you really shouldn't do that. I wonder what you guys think about, you know, up at Michigan State, the decision to bring John Reschke back.
Just the usual.
Which is?
It's Mark D'Antonio. Nobody's going to get on him about this because he's got a jaw. The end.
Well, you know, the whole idea of having players vote is, to me, crazy. I mean, I supervised people and for a good part of my career, and if one of them had done something that was a fireable offense or disciplinary offense, I didn't go around and poll my employees and say, what do I do? Should I suspend this employee? Should I fire? No. That's your job. That was my job. I might ask one or two key employees who I trust, but ask their opinion. But in the end, I'm going to wear it. And so now what D'Antonio has done has said, oh, if something else happens, it isn't on him because the other players made this decision. To me, it's so weaselly. It's so
he abdicates responsibility.
Yeah, sure. In other words, he's just exactly right. He's abdicated the responsibility and thrown it back on his players. And why is this the job of the players? I mean, to me, this is just so wrong and so weaselly.
We also pointed out that this is his sixth year.
It is a sixth
year. So he's
year.
Getting a bonus year right, for that, being racist?
Right.
Is that in the bylaws?
He redshirted in 2013. He played in 14, 15, and 16. He was thrown off the team last year for racist behaviors. And now the NCAA has granted him a 6-year because being a racist gets you, I guess, maybe if you're a Klan member, you get 6 years.
They're trying to say he missed last year due to injury. Is that the revisionist?
They did that before yeah. with Ed Davis, which was also absurd, yeah. and the NCAA bought into that garbage.
You know, I people are equating second chances and the redemptive process with having him on the team and representing the university. Yeah. You can forgive him. You can offer forgiveness and have him even be around the team. You know, he can be a volunteer, right?
Put him in grad school. He can be a grad assistant.
But you have made the choice to have him represent you, to be on your squad. And I thought initially, like you said, I think it was abdicating responsibility to put it on the players. But if you're going to do it, you're going to have unanimous support. And now you look at some Michigan State media that was reporting on this a couple of months ago, and they said it was unanimous. So they said it was unanimous, and then they said they had a second vote with the black players, which
makes no sense.
Yeah. But the reporter, and I can't remember the iSports web guy, I might remember his name, but he reported months ago, back in April, about the process of him getting back on the team. He said there was an initial vote, and it wasn't unanimous. Like, really? So, wow.
So now it's unanimous.
Now it's unanimous.
The votes will continue until everybody says yes.
and one of the initial reports, I believe it was that one was from M Live, that said there wasn't going to be a vote. It was going to be to this Eagle Council.
Leadership Council.
That they had. So they've gone back on a few different things.
Regardless of what the decision is, this is a decision that D'Antonio should have made. And he should wear it one way or another. And it shouldn't have been thrown off onto kids and the players on the team.
But this is what he does.
Yeah.
It's always like, leadership, Eagle Council, please don't pay attention to the fact that I don't care about crime. Anybody can do any crime, and it's okay, except for the three guys who did the bad crime. But any old, medium crime is okay.
Yeah. I mean, should we have a statute of limitations on saying stupid stuff?
No, God, what would I do?
What would we all do?
Sorry, racist stuff.
Oh, okay.
So what do you mean?
I think I'm okay.
Going back and looking at old tweets?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, so this guy said this stuff, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? I get that.
Was he 14 at the time? If you're 14, I'll give you a pass. Because you're listening to the rap music.
But let's talk
you think
about...
you can say the words that the rap music says, and you're wrong, but you're also 14.
Right.
So DiVincenzo, I will give a pass.
I'm thinking more James Gunn, who got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know who that is.
Maybe. So he's the director of the first two Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know what that is.
They found some old... It's a Marvel movie. They found some old tweets.
They found some old tweets from 10 years ago.
Was
and
it 14?
From my understanding, no.
All right.
From my understanding that...
Then he's still responsible for those.
There was nothing more recent than 10 years ago.
If you're 14.
So I mean, I just say, should there be a statute of limitations? Does it depend on your age? Like, what? Can
one
we get
year
some rules
is not,
here?
1 year is not
I
the
get
statute
that.
Of limitations.
Great. But in general, in more general,
in general
cases, like, what, forgiveness is a good thing in a society. Being a racist is not a good thing. Where do those two things meet?
Well, again,
14.
I do think the circumstances matter.
Maybe 15,
right, of course. Right.
What did he mean? What was the tone, the tenor, the circumstances of what he had to say?
That text is not ambiguous.
It is not at all. He was not reciting the lyrics of a song. He was not making a political quip or trying to make an off-color joke that landed wrong.
He was impugning people based on their skin color.
Absolutely, he was.
And it wasn't something that was necessary.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that was said
it.
Even in the heat of the moment.
And he texted
okay.
it.
That's
right. He had to type it out, decide whether to send it, and then he sent it. So, not only did he make a racial aspersion, use a racial epithet, but he also equated it with immoral behavior. It was like, dude, there's just no ambiguity.
Yeah, there's
here.
No wiggle room on that one.
And you decided, you made a calculation that this one wasn't serious enough for you to make the decision. Right. That this was low level enough for the players to decide.
Right.
He didn't, as our caller said, when it came to the three players and the case that was eventually pled down to, what is it, seduction of an unmarried woman?
Yeah.
Which is a law that should immediately be repealed so this can't happen again.
He said it doesn't matter what the legal system says. This is just bad enough on the merits for me to make this decision and say these guys are off the team. But this one wasn't serious enough. This isn't bad enough for me to say, you know what, I don't want this on my team. Even if you forgive him, even if you say I can be a part of this kid's redemptive process, he doesn't have to be on your team, but you made the decision that you want him on your team, representing you, representing your university.
Well, and can other coaches use this on the recruiting trail against Michigan State?
I put that same question out last week. Michigan fans seem to be. We hope Michigan doesn't use it. We hope Michigan doesn't. This isn't something that they address.
Please.
Why are you squinting at me, Brian? I'm giving you what the fans are saying.
You shouldn't be repeating that stuff. Like any. This is not something where it's like, oh, it's in question. It's dubious. This is a very clear cut case of, do you want to be on this kind of team? And I think if Michigan wants to bring it up, I think they should bring it up. I mean, didn't a Maryland linebacker say that their entire offensive line was infamous for the same stuff?
Did.
So.
Wait, I didn't.
That was on.
Jermaine Carter tweeted out that he wasn't surprised that Reschke was reinstated because their offensive line was infamous for the same thing.
Whoa.
Ooh.
So is this the program you want to be in? I would ask that question if I was Michigan. I think you should give them the full picture.
I think the question I posed is this negative recruiting?
I don't care.
is this negative recruiting?
And so they
said, you know, the response was yes, and we hope Michigan doesn't. We hope Michigan is above this. That was the prevailing sentiment.
I mean, I don't think we can be in a society and say that pointing out someone else's wrongdoing is a bad thing.
Because that
leads to Zach Smith. That exact thing where it's like, oh, let's not talk about this. No, we should talk about it because then you get some changes in people's behavior.
And
hopefully.
My question and response was, what comparisons aren't negative recruiting? I mean, if you compare your academics to theirs, is that
sure.
not negative recruiting then? If you can't point out the places where you're better, where
these
you're superior.
People, so we'll just have Michigan point out that they don't have any racial incidents that got related to this year.
And that'll cover it.
And just be like, you might want to compare and contrast. But we're gonna make you Google it.
Right. We don't have any known racist.
We have Google, right. But we're gonna make you do it.
I think it's documented racist, Sam.
Right? All right. The text. Gotcha. And this one definitely is documented. Yeah. Text message. The Free Press obtained the text message and printed it. So it's not out there for. It's not any question about it. But guys, great to have you back. I know we didn't talk any actual football today.
It's coming.
Why are our rivals so terrible?
We will get to that next week.
Better than